This is Mazingira Yetu Radio.
Empower and inform.
Proudly powered by Sound 34. Sound 34 Media. www.sound34.com.
The Nairobi River Basin covers Nairobi, Kiambu, and Kajiado counties. River Githaraini forms one of the rivers in this basin, and it originates from Shianda Springs in Limuru uplands and flows towards the east to join Nairobi River in Ruai. The river faces a number of challenges like riverine pollution and encroachment of its banks, just like the rest of the rivers. Small Axe Environmental Youth Group in Githurai is endeavoring to address these challenges through River Githuraini Water Resource Users Association.
So, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
So, I'm called Sam Dindi from Mazingira Yetu Magazine. And I'm in a very beautiful park just along Thika Road. And I would like the two representatives that are found here to tell me where we are, who they are, and why are we here today. So beginning with you, kindly, what's your name?
My name's James Kamanu Mbugwa. I'm one of the founders of this initiative. It's called Githaraini Rehabilitation Project. That's a project that we are conserving the riparian of Githaraini River, just from the Thika Superhighway as you go downstream towards Kasarani.
Aha. Yes. How about you?
My name is Zawadi Maluki. I'm the former secretary of the group. And as you said, we are involved in conserving the riparian because the river, we have to take care of the river. If we don't, no one will, and our future generations need these resources. So we are involved in tree planting activities, river cleanups. Yeah.
So just a quick question. Did the name Githurai come from Githaraini? I'm seeing that there's some similarity.
Yes, Githaraini River, or Githaraini, it's where the name Kasarani came from.
Okay.
So initially some people called the river Kasarani River, but its real name is Githaraini River.
So by any chance, could you be knowing what Githaraini means?
For now, I don't know what it means, but I understand it is a place upstream called Kasarini. That's where the river originates from. So as the river comes flows downstream, now the names changes from Kasarini to Githaraini.
Okay.
Yes.
So in which year did this initiative begin, and what made you to start all this?
The initiative started way back in 2010. By then, some of us were working in the matatu industry, and they happened to be picking passengers at the Globe Cinema roundabout stage. So by then, the late Honorable John Michuki had the Nairobi Regeneration Project. So we could see youth doing rehabilitation along Nairobi River on the Globe Cinema area. So we decided that since we also have a river in our area, why don't we replicate that, is what is happening in Nairobi River, to our local river. So we came, we mobilized the local youth, and decided to start the initiative way back in 2010.
So how many were you during that time?
By then we were 30 members, because by then most youth in most urban areas are jobless, so the youths could take up any initiative that they may be deemed, or they may, that they saw maybe would bring hope to them. So we started with a group of around 36 members, but with time members dropped because their expectations maybe were not met. Maybe some didn't understand the task in front of them, because conservation or river restoration or river cleanup, it's not an easy task. It is labor intensive, and by then we didn't have any partners, so we used to do it on a voluntary basis. So maybe for that reason most of the members gave up. But those who had passion for the environment stayed, and over the time the number went down. There was a time even we had a number of, we were 15 members, but we managed now to recruit new members, and right now we have 26 active members.
Aha. So Zawadi, what role did the ladies play during the initial formation of this group?
I wasn't a member when it was being formed, the first days, but I used to live here, and as you said, it was a garbage site. So after I saw what they are doing slowly, I joined them way later on. And the ladies, you know, there's this gender rule, that's the two-thirds rule. So we saw it appropriate to apply it even here from our what do I say? From here as our group. And, you know, if people see a lady, they will, at least they'll distance the organization from crime, because they believe if there are many males, probably they're into crime. But if they see a lady, it even attracted more ladies. Yes.
So currently, how many ladies do you have?
We have, I think we have 8 or 10. Nine. Yes. Because they've been joining the last month, we've been having a lot of members being recruited.
So, David, what initial challenges did you face during this, the restoration of this section of the river?
As I had said earlier, river restoration or river cleanups is labor intensified. So the first task that was in front of us was clearing the garbage. The area used to be a dump site. Members of the community who live around this area used to dump their waste here. So we had the first challenge was clearing the waste. And being that we didn't have any funds and working on voluntary basis, so it was very hard to attract people to work on the river. So it took us a quite longer time than we had planned to clear the garbage. So that was our main problem and all our main challenge of clearing the garbage. The other challenge we had was now acquiring the tree seedlings, because we needed to plant trees also along the riparian and we didn't have funds. So we depended on members' savings or members used to contribute to the project. So it became sometimes challenging, where you're supposed to dedicate your time to the project and also you get deep into your pocket and have the small money that you have, maybe to buy the seedlings, maybe to buy maybe refreshments during work, or even maybe to get lunch, because we didn't have anybody who was funding the project.
So Zawadi, as you came in later on, what input did you bring into the group?
First of all, a lady's presence, to show the ladies that we also have a say in conserving the environment, because studies have suggested that ladies are the number one polluters of the environment because of our hair, sanitary towels and pampers, since we are mothers. So being the first females here, it was a good way to show ladies that they can come on board and reconserve the environment.
But today I noticed there were, I think, so many pampers on the rivers. What do you think can be done to address this challenge of poor disposal of pampers?
We could educate people on how to dispose waste. We can separate them. Because as it is right now, everyone dumps everything in one place. The pampers, there's the plastic, and there are some that can be reused, some can be put aside and then taken to specific places where they can be recycled or disposed properly. But now when we mix all of them, the people who collect the garbage, some of them don't have time to sort. They only sort what is important, the food that will be taken to pigs, because it's money. But the rest is just thrown away in the river. So I feel like maybe they can introduce what are they called? Environment friendly pampers, because most of them are made of plastic. Yes.
So David, I've seen what you've done. James, sorry, what you've done here is very commendable.
Yes.
Has the same effort been replicated along the river from the source up here or not yet?
Just the other day we did a transit walk to see the challenges of the river in different points, and for sure not very many people are involved in conservation of the river, either upstream or downstream. But with time we've managed to partner with other youth groups that are doing the same. We have a Simplicity CBO that is in Kasarani Mwiki area. We have another group that is downstream there, a place called Manguo. It's called Green Jewels. We also have another group upstream called the Green Army. They're also doing some little bit of conservation, but they have just started the other day. But we hope maybe in the near future to team up, since now we registered Arua, we need now to bring more on board, because the challenges are maybe too much for one group to handle. And the more we bring more people on board, the more we bring more partners on board, the easier and the more sustainable it becomes.
David, I've heard you mentioning Rua. I mean, sorry, I keep on confusing your name. James, I've heard you speaking a lot about Rua River Users Association.
Yes.
Could you tell us what is it all about, what does it entail, and what are its advantages?
Arua is a registered entity under the office of the AG, which involves people residing or depending on a certain water body, a certain water resource. And now on our particular case, we have Gatharaini River as our water resource. So we have Gatharaini Water Resource Users Association, which is a group of people coming together who use the water resource for one way, in one way or another, who come together for the restoration and conservation of the water resource, so that as the river goes downstream, it will also benefit the community downstream, and also it will help in managing the water resource better. And with the Water Resource Authority, it is recognized by the government. It is supported by the law. Sababu Articles, the Water Act 2016 says that once we did the constitutional reforms, everything was brought to the people, including the management and conservation of natural resources. So through the Water Resource Authority, they established Water Resource Users Association as a grassroots organization to take care of a particular water resource in a particular area. And that way, you get more mandate of conserving the water resource and also managing the conflict that can arise along the water resource.
Zawadi, how should the residents be involved in the river cleanup and river restoration? Because it is them who are polluting this river, to be honest, and they are not involved in any way. Because I'm seeing there are very good flats here, very beautiful flats, but they don't know where the sewage goes to. And yet they are the very ones to complain that our governors are not working. So how can they, what role can they play towards cleaning up of these rivers?
I think first they do that because they are ignorant. Because if you are living like in this flat, it is your duty to know, where is this waste going? Where is my sewage going to? Has this person connected the drainage to the sewers and all? So we could empower them. You see, this all these events we hold, we try and involve them as much so that they come and see what the small things they do in their houses, how much they affect the water resources and how it's going to affect them later because of climate change. Because the more they litter, this river is continuing to narrow. And if it narrows, people in the downstream, they're not getting anything. And they should know that is their duty. To make sure, it's called water balance, we were taught in the training. The way you treat your water resource here, it affects those people in the downstream. So I feel they should be involved. They should be involved in the cleanups, but it's our duty also to educate them. Because if they have no idea why they are doing this, it will just be a waste of time. Yes.
So David, how waste management is an issue that I think we are failing to address it well. What do you think, how can waste be addressed from our homes, from our workplaces, from our markets, in order to stop them from reaching our rivers and dump sites?
The most sustainable way to manage our waste is, first of all, is to become responsible citizens. Most of these things that are thrown in the river, or most of this waste that is being badly managed, are things that we bought and used them. So each and every Kenyan should be responsible enough to understand that the small bits, my small garbage and her small garbage and the other person's small garbage, once they meet, it becomes a heap of garbage. So if everybody can manage their own waste, we have initiatives that are upcoming, like maybe the Taka Bank. We have other initiatives like maybe separation of waste at source. We also have other initiatives like empowering the waste collectors, because some of these guys who do the waste management don't have the capacity. For example, once you collect waste from this area, you're supposed to take it to the dump site. And to transport waste from here to the dump site, it becomes expensive for the waste collectors. So they wait at night, collect the garbage from the residents, and then come through them into the river. So we could do a dialogue meeting with the tenants, with the landlords, with the waste manager, with the waste collectors and the conservation team, and sit down and come to an agreement and know where and all who is not performing his right task. So if it is the county government, we need to put them into task. If it is the waste managers or the waste collectors, we need to put them into task. If it is the community, we also need to educate them, as my sister here is saying, on proper waste disposal methods. Because some of the waste that we come across in the river are things maybe that can be recycled. If they are properly managed, some can be used for compost manure. Others we call them hazardous waste, waste that can cause harm to other people. So they are supposed to be handled in a different way. So we need to empower our community on proper waste disposal methods. We also need to empower our waste collectors so that once they collect waste, that they are supposed to take it to the right, at the right dumping place, instead of collecting the waste in the households and then dropping them into the river.
So Zawadi, most of the houses I'm seeing here, they're not connected to the central sewerage system. What do you think can be done to address sewerage from our homes?
Right now, since we registered as a water resource, ARUA, we were told we have the mandate to present to them to approach them.
Proposals.
Not even proposals. They need to get a certificate from us or the WRA.
Effluent discharge.
Yeah, for effluent discharge, which they are not doing. So I think we could approach them as a ARUA and call the dialogue meeting, he said at first. Because, you know, if you approach someone with such something like that, he'll start asking, who are you? Are you from NEMA? And how is it your business? Where my waste goes and all? And it's his investment after all. He chooses what to do with it. So in that dialogue meeting, we can discuss all those things and show them what their waste does to the river. Yes.
David, how are you working with the Kiambu County Government Department of Environment in the restoration of this river?
For sure, most of these government agencies are not of much help. But at times, we do partner with them during cleanups. They provide trucks to come collect the garbage. But we need them, being the government, whatever we are doing, they're the ones who are supposed to be doing. We are doing it on their behalf. They are collecting taxes from the community, but they are not utilizing the taxes as it should be used. They have funds allocated for environmental conservation. They have funds allocated for restoration of the rivers. They have funds allocated to enforce environmental laws. They have funds to enforce the effluent discharge, but they're not doing their part. So I can clearly say that the county government, both Nairobi and Kiambu, are not playing their real roles in terms of environmental protection, since they have all the muscles they would need. They even have enforcement officers who can arrest even the perpetrators or even those who are polluting. But due to corruption, nothing is being done.
So what do you think can be done to rectify the situation, so that whereby all of us are singing from the same book or the same hymn?
We still insist on having as many dialogues as possible, because through those dialogues we shall come to a common understanding and everybody will understand their role. If it is the county government, they'll understand their role better. And we also need to put them into task as the community, because as a community, we are in a better place to understand our area better, apart from being the one, the same community that are the ones who are polluting. The same community is in a position to understand their community better,
since they are the beneficiaries.
And also they are the beneficiaries of the same environment. So it is now the community to partner with the county government to put them into task and for them to perform their real roles of safeguarding and enforcing the set environmental rules.
Zawadi, you talked about water balance, and are there any forms part of the Nairobi River Basin? It traverses Nairobi County, Kiambu County, and Machakos County. But as we were discussing with James earlier on, the three county governments are not working in unison. Do you think it's necessary, it's high time for them to work as a team in order to restore this river basin?
Yes, very much, because clearly the the community has shown interest in doing something. So it's, you remember how we used to be told a student in school is three stones, the parent, student and teacher. Now in this case it's the community, the government, and then now these conservation groups. The conservation groups are doing their part. The community, we are trying to involve them. But now the county, they're the ones who are just standing aside looking. And yet they have money, resources, everything, but they're just standing there waiting for us to do. So I feel like they need to put aside their differences, their tribal or political differences, and then work together, because it's us who are losing eventually. Yes. The same way we saw during the toxic flow. You see, the chemicals, you might think you're not being affected because you're in Kikuyu or whatever. But then again, that food that is being planted downstream is coming back to your supermarkets.
Yeah, I saw the skumariki being...
So all of us are... If everyone understands that, even the politicians, that skuma is going to be sold in Karen, it's going to be sold in Muthaiga, in Runda. If all of us understand that it all comes back to us, I think we'll go a long way.
James, why is it that environmental issues are like a landmine? Very few people want to touch them, or if it's touched, it blows out of proportion. Like the Mau issue now, the Nairobi River Basin issues. We have a problem, but you're not addressing it.
You see, Kenyans have a very strong connections with land issues. I don't know where the problem started. So anything that touches on land issues becomes a thorn in the flesh. Like for instance, our case here, as you can see, we have a lot of encroachment along the river. Guys know very well that I am building my structure along the river line. But they go ahead and continue building. So I think it is a problem that, it is an inborn problem, that issues to do with land, people don't care the consequences. Whether I'm building my house on a wetland, whether I'm building my house inside a forest, whether I'm buying my land along the riparian land, Kenyans don't care. As long as I own a land, we have encroachment as one of our major challenges in riparian conservation. Because as you can see now, this restoration should have gone downstream, but as once you reach here, you can't move beyond there because somebody has constructed a house. So you need to move further downstream and get a space where nobody has encroached for you to continue with your rehabilitation or the restoration of the riparian.
Yeah, Kenya currently there are almost eight laws,
yes,
regarding riparian ecosystem conservation. We've got the MCA Act, Water Act, Urban Act, Agricultural Act. There are so many.
Yes.
And we noticed that some of these laws, they conflict each other.
Yeah, they contradict.
They contradict each other. For example, how far should a repair land be? Should it be 30 meters? Should it be 20 meters? So I'm wondering, is it high time for these laws to be amalgamated into one, so that we just have one law,
yes,
that is easily enforceable?
In my point, I would say all laws that affect the environment should come from one body. You're not supposed to have a Water Act, it affects the environment, a Forest Act, it affects the environment, and all other acts. All those laws should be brought together on one docket, that is the environmental docket, because the Forest, the Agriculture and the Water Act, all those laws are affecting all, are in charge of the environment. So once those laws come from one body, it will be very easy to consolidate those laws so that they stop contradicting each other. Because sometimes the Water Act says it is 30 meters. Another act says it is 6 meters.
Yes.
Another act says it is the size of the wings of the river. So we need a clear definition of the riparian so that once even those who are buying land, they can clearly know that this is the size of the riparian and this is how or where I'm supposed to, this is the farthest I should maybe encroach or maybe construct my building. We had a proposal of doing the mapping and pegging of the riparian. But you see, even after pegging, we don't put visible boundaries, because we should have visible boundaries that are clearly marked that past this edge it is the riparian. So it is also a shortcoming on the government side. We need clear riparian boundaries that everybody can see, even the young children, everybody can see that past here it is riparian land. If we don't do that, this conflict will never come to an end.
Because Kenyans know if no land can be anyone's land as long as you have power.
Yes.
He even didn't tell you when the project was beginning, there was a woman who owned this land. She really disturbed them because she used to say this is her land, it is her property, she has titles. It was a long battle before she agreed.
But eventually she gave in after our consistency.
But it was not easy.
It was not easy.
But she was so determined. It's
so
hers.
Meaning this space, if you guys were not consistent, then we wouldn't be sitting here.
One of our successes is that we've managed to safeguard this area from being grabbed. If it was not for these trees, maybe we could have a story building here, or an informal settlement here. Because as you can see, we have buildings lined up along the riparian.
These houses, bedsitters, one bedrooms.
So this is one of the success stories that we proudly talk about, that we have managed to safeguard a section of a riparian from being encroached and converted it into a green zone, where, as you can see, members of the community come for recreational activities.
Even you can feel the air.
Yeah,
you
can feel it.
Yeah, it's pure oxygen. I wish you can come here on a Sunday.
It is the only place where you can sit.
Like
in fact, we call it the lungs of Githurai.
Yeah.
Because this is where you can get the. This is where Githurai breathes from. So all the toxic, all the fumes from the highway, they are being absorbed by all this beautiful tree canopy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even that, was it a Google photo?
Yes.
Yeah.
It shows this is the only
green place.
Water
treated me here, by the way. I went to Google.
Yes.
And it was the only
green space. Yeah.
Imagine
it looked odd.
Yes.
Google can acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Authorities.
If you can go back to Google and search for Google Earth and Google this place in 2009, you'll see how bare the area was.
And then now.
So we have clear evidence that small efforts by the youth who are consistent and who are determined can bring such a beautiful landscape.
Something funny that I usually wonder, we have UNEP,
yes,
in Nairobi,
yes,
but we don't feel them. I don't know if is it our approach is poor. What do you think the problem is? Because you don't feel them, and yet they are it's a global body.
The challenge with most of these organizations, they are so much in the boardrooms. Most of the things they are doing in the boardrooms, and
they're
we would challenge them.
The
we would
drones.
Challenge them, being an international United Nations Environment Program, and being Nairobi as their headquarters. They need to be felt on the ground. They need to go to the grassroots and see what the grassroots youth are doing. Because the more time they spend in the boardrooms, they spend all their budgets there, but nothing will be felt on the ground. This is a perfect example of what youth can do even without funding. There is no person that can stand here and say, I funded this group. This is pure voluntary work by local youths. So we urge, and I say this again, we want to challenge the international bodies that are within our Nairobi area, or within Kenya, or within the city of Nairobi. Let them come out of the boardrooms. Let them go to the community. Let them go and see what initiatives are being done in regards to environmental conservation by the community.
Can I add on to something? I feel like they focus more on all this paperwork, because you'll find there's a funding, a nice funding that we have qualified for. But the requirements, let's say it's a group like this, was not many people have written all those proposals that have gone through. So you'll find them, they're looking for a perfectly written proposal. And in real sense, you can organize people to write a proposal and then you fake what pictures and it will go through. But if they came to the ground first instead of looking at all that paperwork, I know it is important, but if you come here, you'll live with a lot more than what was expressed on the paper. So like he said, a lot of groundwork, or have scouts, a lot of scouts around. Along every riparian, there are like two scouts who know how that riparian is doing, how the conservation efforts are going, to really help.
By any chance, have you worked with the Ministry of Environment and Natural Resources?
We only work with them in forums, but on the ground, on real restoration initiatives, we don't have any activity
we've done with them. Get them to come here.
Yes, so we would again urge them, let them have field officers who will go on the ground, scout for projects that are real restoration projects, do their reports, take their reports to them, they come visit the projects and see how they can partner with the community. Mm-hmm. The other paperwork can be done after identifying this is a real potential environmental conservation initiative.
So Zawadi, where do you see yourselves in the next 5 years?
Myself, I see my...
Yourself and...
And the organization.
Yeah.
I see this organization having attracted more youth to come and join in the conservation project. I see this project going, having been completed, even though not all of it, downstream. I see myself not having to argue with anyone over the riparian. It's the riparian, it belongs to the river, it should be the river alone. And seeing a lot of environmentally empowered youth, yes, in the society, because I believe that is where the change will begin. We have a lot of youth who are not environmentally, what do I say?
Conscious.
They know there's the environment, they learn it in schools, but coming to the ground, they don't know what it takes to nurture a tree. They don't know what a river cleanup entails. They just think it's easy, it's removing this and this, but it's not. Yes.
So, James, as a parting shot,
yes,
what do you want to tell the world?
I would tell the world that our environment is our responsibility. It's up to us to act in our very small way. I'll just say like what Wangari Maathai used to say, you being the hummingbird in your own area. Just pray your small bit, and my small bit and your small bit and her small bit will, once we team up, becomes an impact. So everybody has a role to play. From the woman who is in the household, from the officer who is in the government, from the NGO that is working within this area, we all have our roles to play in restoration of our rivers and the restoration of our riparian areas.
Wow, I'm very, very grateful.
Thank you.
James and Zawadi, I'm super impressed.
Yes.
And I believe the future is bright.
Very bright.
As I usually say, an ant with a stout heart can lift an elephant.
Sure.
So this is the elephant and we are ants, but our spirits are
very strong.
Very strong. So nothing is impossible.
Sure.
Yeah.
And thank you for visiting Small Axe. Invite your friends. It's still free before we start charging.
And anytime you are around this area, you come and enjoy this cool weather.
Yeah.
This pure oxygen.
Cool.
Yes.
Sawa, Sante Nisan.
Thank you too.
Yeah.
This is Mazingira Yetu Radio.
Empower and inform.
Proudly powered by Sound 34. Sound 34 Media. www.sound34.com